Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Welcome to South Britain Congregational Church. Today's reading is Psalm 25, Teach Me Your Paths. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none who wait for you shall be put to shame. They shall be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long. Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me, for the sake of your goodness, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right, and teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness, for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great. Who is the man who fears the Lord? Him will he instruct in the way that he should choose. His soul shall abide in well-being, and his offspring shall inherit the land. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. Consider my affliction and my trouble, and forgive my sins. Consider how many are my foes, and with what violent hatred they hate me. Oh, guard my soul and deliver me. Let me not be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. May integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles.
Well, welcome to South Britain Congregational Church on this Father's Day. We're so glad you've decided to be a part of our service this morning. Will you just join me in the spirit of prayer? Dear God, we are grateful to you for this day, and we thank you for this time to set aside and just concentrate on you and our relationship with you and one another, and just ask for your presence and your love and open our hearts and minds. In your Son's name, amen. The storm was raging and the ship was taking on a lot of water. Realizing that the ship was sinking, the captain suddenly called out, "Does anyone know how to pray?" A man stepped forward and said, "Yes, Captain, I know how to pray." And the captain said, "Good. You pray while the rest of us put on life jackets. We're one short." We as Christians can do this sometimes, a lot of the time. We relegate prayer to something that when we don't know what else to do, or as a cry for help, which it can be, but it's also more than that. We see prayer as a lifeline, a safety net, and there are aspects of prayer that are that, but it's much, much more. We, from time to time, need to explore this idea of prayer together, and this Psalm 25, is a great example for us to go a little bit deeper. Martin Luther frames prayer and its importance as he says, "To be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. It is by far the most important discipline in our spiritual life that we have, but I hesitate to call it a discipline. I kind of actually prefer tool. Discipline has a connotation of something that we have to do or we'll get in trouble, as opposed to prayer, which is so much more than that. So what is prayer? Prayer is communication, plain and simple. St. Teresa of Avila says, "For prayer is nothing else than being on terms of friendship with God." So if prayer is relational, and relational with someone who loves us deeply, that immediately begins to change how we see it, how we look at it. So with this understanding, this means that we need to approach prayer differently and go about it differently than a lot of us do in light of this fact. So that's our message this morning. To grow in our prayer life, we need to keep it real. I think this psalm this morning touches upon this idea, and after a careful reading. So keeping it real is seeing prayer as relational. King David, who's attributed to writing this psalm, which was probably a song and put to music, but these are prayers. We get to see David praying, talking to God. We get to see something that is a private conversation of two people in a relationship. As we all know, healthy, strong relationships are two-way streets, and communication happens both ways. David is a powerful king, talking to even a more powerful God, a God who David assumes is listening to what he says, and more than that, a God who David believes and trusts really cares about him and all the aspects of David's life. So much so that David feels really known, and it's clear that God is really known by David. These are two people that really know each other. And we have people like this in our lives or know of two people that are like this, where the way they talk, the way they interact is really clear how well they know each other. I was actually presiding over a funeral for someone while I was a hospice chaplain, and I'd gotten to know the person's son pretty well over the months of working with the family. And I was standing graveside with the son when another gentleman started to approach, and the son looked at him with an angry look and said, "I didn't think you would show your ugly face here." And I was thinking, as a pastor, I was going to have to break up some kind of fight between two people at a memorial service. The other man got up closer and said, all of a sudden, with this huge smile, "You old goat, it's good to see you." And they hugged and embraced, and they were glad to be there together to remember the man. This psalm shows us, like these two old friends, there's a closeness and intimacy to the relationship. And out of that, a healthy prayer life grows with this relationship with God. So, of course, if we are like that with people we know well, we can be like that with God. Now, here can be the hardest one for us, keeping it real in our prayer life. When we're keeping it real and we're talking with someone we love and know well, what do? We argue, we bicker, we disagree, we hold a grudge, we apologize. We sometimes make deals too. Just read Jonah. You want to stretch our understanding of how to interact with God in prayer, look no further than this little tiny 4-chapter book. Jonah speaks pretty straight with God, to put it kindly. He complains that God's too merciful, too forgiving, too nice. He says, "God, you're too nice to these Ninevites." He gets beyond mad at God. He barters with God. He makes a deal. Moses, Abraham, David, all the greats had this kind of relationship. They seem to barter and talk with God as a close friend would do. This is mind-blowing stuff, different than we've been taught, I think, over the years. But it's so important that that's a part of keeping keeping it real and being a part of this relationship, which is prayer. Another way of keeping it real comes from out of this understanding that prayer is relational. So keeping it real is remembering that prayer does not have to be formal. I don't know about you growing up, but I learned or was taught or observed that prayer is formal. Anyone else get this idea somewhere along the line? Going to hope that some people are nodding their heads or their hands went up. And email me after this if this was your experience too. But why is that? Where does that come from? If we think about it, when we speak to close friends or spouses or whoever we're closest to, are we formal? The better we know someone, the more informal we become. It would be uncomfortable to be formal with someone that we are close to. It's awkward. If I go home and talk to my wife and say, "Hello, Mrs. Carr, how are you doing?" "Well, I hope." I think she'd be worried about my mental health or more than she already is. I usually call my wife Brittany or Britt. And one time when we got married, I did call her Brittany. I called out from the kitchen. We had just gotten married and I stepped on a piece of glass and my foot was bleeding. So I all of a sudden went formal in that moment and said, "Brittany, I need you." And so she was all nervous, and because we had just gotten married, she was worried that I was really hurt. But when we know someone and we talk, we're not formal. And when we're really close and the more real with the person, those things kind of continue to fade away. So why should our relationship with God be any different? Why do we put on this formality? So that's another way of kind of keeping it real, is moving away from this idea of formality. Another one is keeping it real is not worrying about if we're doing it right. We can make prayer into so many other things, but praying and doing it quote-unquote right is not about worrying about doing it right. But we should be so much less concerned with making it right or worrying about it being right. This shouldn't be even enter our hearts or our minds when we pray. Think of the person that you're closest to or you feel knows you well. Do you think about it when you're talking with them? Do you stop and worry if you're doing it right? No way, right? That would be absurd. Do we worry about being right in what we're saying or embarrassed if we're not making sense or anything else? No, of course not. We just talk. People we are closest to have to listen to us even when we don't make sense. It's part of being close. It's part of being in relationship. Taking people as they are is being real. But knowing this, then, why do we, with prayer, a lot of the time do this? Why are we worried about, oh, I don't want to pray because I don't want to mess up? I used to hear that from youth a lot when I was a youth pastor. I would pray, but I don't want to mess up. I don't want to say something wrong. But the thing is, the beautiful thing is, and we see this from the psalm, we can't mess up. Even if we say something wrong or we misspeak, it's all good. It's all part of the relationship. Brothers and sisters, prayer is about keeping it real, dealing with the real of God and the real of ourselves. If we do that, then we can't mess it up. And more than that, I think we sometimes forget that keeping it real, another aspect is including the mundane and the messy of our lives. This kind of ties into the formal and the relationship kind of aspects. But the mundane, the messy is an important part of our prayer time, our relationship with God. We see in this psalm that David shows us the messy things. The things of life are these things are the meat, the filling of our prayer time with the Almighty. David talks, if you look back through at Psalm 25, hopefully you hear the reading this morning, but grab a Bible and take a look. David talks about a lot of things in this psalm. When we're worried about, he's worried about enemies, about people giving him a hard time. That might be something that we're worried about, or about the state of the world in general. We ask things to ourselves, but don't open it up to God, but we should. Like, how come this person who is not godly at all gets to prosper, and this person who I know is a good person, a righteous person, they suffer? Why is it so cold? Why did the dish break? Why did the check bounce? God, why are you not helping me in this situation? I think sometimes we think these things we can't bring to God because they're below God. But if they are a question to us and God cares about us, why would we assume he doesn't want to hear that? We find ourselves in different seasons, and to keep it real, we can talk to God about all these things, all these topics. Nothing is out of bounds when it comes to our prayer life with God. David puts it in poetic terms. He talks about the wilderness. Stuff of life is the wilderness. But when we're in the wilderness, when things feel far away, other people, and hope, God wants us to keep it real and share about how we're feeling, about being there. God knows our thoughts. Jesus said that. God knows what you want before you even ask. So if we choose not to share, then we're not being real. We're not being authentic. Life is hard and joyful and complicated. And so if we hold these things back, it's us who's missing out on a new depth of prayer life with the divine. David asked for forgiveness for things he did. Forgive me my sins of my youth, he says in this psalm. When, you know, long before, things that I did a long time ago, he's still processing those, still holding on to those. So he's saying, forgive me for that. You know, and this made, who knows how long ago this might have been. If that's off limits, you know, if we think that's off limits, then what is in limits? What is possible? And this is David, who is a man after God's own heart. So we can look at him as an example. We can even reach the point where, like I said, nothing is outside this realm of this relationship with God, if it's a real relationship. Another way of growing and keeping it real is that we don't have to worry about how we sound. When we keep it real, we don't worry about that. Making a mistake, and, you know, we can jump from thing to thing. You know, some people's minds are like that, where you think you're talking about, you know, politics in one breath, and then you're moving into, you know, like what your plan is for tomorrow. And so it's okay to talk that way. God gave us this mind, and he knows how we wander. And David does that too. He seems in this psalm to kind of move from, you know, sins of his youth to, you know, teach me your ways and all these other things. We know this, you know, you're talking with someone and you pause and you say, you know, how do we get from talking about what we're having for dinner to diplomacy on the Korean Peninsula to who's going to win the Oscar this year? And that's just real conversation. And this is the same thing with God. It doesn't have to be this and this and this and this. It can jump from thing to thing as our hearts and our minds, as it comes to us. This is how conversations go when they're real. And so our prayer needs to be real too. Another thing that's interesting, or another way of kind of keeping it real, is that there are going to be days where we're just not fully present in the relationship. And that's okay too. What can happen is the idea that we get worried because no matter how spiritually deep we are, there are times where we're just not feeling it. And when we pray, it might feel cold or robotic, or just going, we feel like we're just going through the motions. When Hudson Taylor, the great missionary to China, was asked late in life if he always experienced joy while praying, he replied that his heart felt like wood during prayer. He said, in fact, that most of his major victories came from emotionless prayer. So another way of keeping it real is knowing that prayer can be mechanical at times. And that's why we memorize the Lord's Prayer and we just say it. We don't have to think about each and every line that we're saying. We're not saying the Lord's Prayer. We're not always, you know, tuned into what exactly we're asking for and saying, but it's also a really nice placeholder so that when we're not feeling it, when it feels distant or hard, we can say the Lord's Prayer and still feel like we're in relationship. And that's okay. Like I said, if prayer is a relationship and there are times where, and I don't want to see any hands for this one, where we're in a relationship where we're not feeling it that day, or things are hard, or we're processing our own things. And if relationships are like that, then this prayer relationship with God can be like that. And we do a disservice to ourselves to hold ourselves to a standard that every conversation with God has to be energizing and life-giving and life-moving, when it's just not plain true. If it wasn't true for, you know, Hudson Taylor, and it's not true for Paul and for all these other people, why do we think it has to be true for us? So growing and keeping real is really grounded in a relationship, like I said. And so there's two areas that we can focus on if we want to keep growing and keeping it real. Is we need to get to know each other. Any kind of relationship, you always need to get to know one another. And so with prayer, it's us and God. Get to know God better. We need to do this slowly, as we do with all relationships. Learn what kind of person God is. David asked to learn Yahweh's ways. What kind of God is he? David asked, like I said, for forgiveness, and that God won't remember the bad things that he's done as he moves forward. David in the Psalm knows God so well that David reminds God about God's own nature. He says to him, "Be mindful of your mercy. Remember that you are a God who forgives." David knows God well enough to remind him of who he is, and God does the same with David. Closeness cannot be created by inaction. It's investment, it's intentionality, it's the most important thing, and it takes steps and leaps forward in keeping it real, and it will create leaps forward in our prayer life. To keep it real, we need to get to know God and who God is in relationship. And the other thing that's important in all relationships and speaks to this, real relationships are built on trust. As Eugene Peterson translates this psalm in The Message, he says, "God will not leave us high and dry." We need to trust God and allow God to trust us. This psalm shows us so clearly that trust is an important thing to both sides of this relationship. Trust is built by looking at past track records, ways in which the person was there, came through in a time of need. He says, "Remember me, know me, let me know you." It's amazing, David says pretty bluntly his expectations of God. "Hey God, don't make me look stupid or foolish for following you." Can you imagine saying that? "Okay God, I'm a member of South Britain Congregational Church. You better not make me look silly for spending my time and energy at this church. You better do great stuff because I'm a part of it." You know, can you imagine that? That takes a great part. A lot of people out there are probably thinking, "Whoa, I can't imagine saying that." But it takes trust. We learn to trust God and for God to trust us. And importantly, too, all relationships, we remember that it's based on love. St. Teresa of Avila, once again, who had a tremendous prayer life, says, "Mental prayer, in my opinion, is nothing else than intimate sharing between friends. It means taking time frequently to be alone with God, who knows us and loves us. The important thing is not to think much, but to love much. And so do that which best stirs you to love. Love is not great delight, but desire to please God in everything." So brothers and sisters, let us put this into perspective. It's not a big deal to pray with God. It's just top. It's just tea. It's a coffee date. Sitting with a good friend, when we keep it real, we don't have to worry about how we sound, making a mistake, jumping from thing to thing. We don't have to worry about anything else except keeping it real and seeking to love and be loved by a God who is already willing and wanting to love us. And out of this trust and this knowledge, the relationship will grow, and so will the prayer life. There's no pressure when we pray, no great expectation on either side. It starts, as all relationships do, with a simple hi, and the rest takes care of itself. So this week, let us just try to keep it real, and sometime this week, just pause and say, "Hi, God." Amen.